This is Engaging the Community, a monthly conversation with the president of Missouri State University, Cliff Smart. Welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Scott.
You've talked on this program in the past about how funding cuts impact the university. And Missouri State is not alone, as higher education is getting less from the state compared to previous years, mainly due to lower state revenues. Earlier this year, MSU began the process of developing a sustainable financial plan. First, talk about the main reductions in state funding that essentially prompted the development of such a plan.
So obviously, the two main reductions for the budget year we're in total a 9% reduction from the state, and that's about $8+ million. We get our money primarily from two sources, tuition and fees and state appropriations. And so they're directly related. The better the state funds us, the better we can do in holding down costs for our students. And so we got this significant reduction this year. We anticipate at least the potential for further reductions in the next 2 to 3 years. And so we thought we needed to really put together a plan to deal with that, rather than just passing those costs on to students and raising tuition dramatically.
So it's taking not only the current financial situation, but looking forward and anticipating future reductions in appropriations, and therefore creating a plan from that of how to move forward.
Exactly. And you know, we've had interaction with the governor's office. We've had interaction with our state representatives all along the political spectrum. And the consensus overall is there's less money next year, and there are going to be more demands from Medicaid and other things for that money. And so further cuts are likely. So how do we handle that? This first year, you know, we essentially did it by about 60% was reduction in services from the university, eliminating positions, eliminating various programs, events, et cetera, reducing budgets. But you can only do that so long until the services and programs that you're offering suffer. And so we're probably going to have to do more on the tuition and fee side, and yet affordability remains a priority. And so this plan is to both deal with the affordability issues while at the same time recognizing we're going to have to replace some of the revenue.
Can you give us an idea of where you're at in the planning process right now?
So we've given the outline. There are essentially four principles. They are pillar number one is maintaining affordability. Pillar number two is continuing to work on improving our efficiency. We want to be very good stewards with the money that we get from the state and from our students. Pillar three is revenue growth outside of tuition increases. And then pillar four is evaluating our tuition and fee and scholarship policies altogether. And so we'll be working on all of those things. We're working on them now. There are a variety of things that are in process now, for example, on the affordability side. One of the things we're working on jointly with our faculty is right now we have a requirement of 125 hours to graduate. About 80% of our programs, though, you could really graduate with 120 hours without impacting the classes you have to take in your major or general education requirements, et cetera. And so we've got a group of faculty looking at, could we reduce that from 125 to 120? And so that would save most of our students about $1,100. That would be meaningful. So at a time that we're evaluating increasing tuition and fees, if at the same time we can reduce the number of classes they take, right now at $210 a credit hour for most of our students, you know, we can offset some or all of that.
And then how would you make something like that revenue neutral for the school?
It would give students the opportunity to save money through the classes they take. Mm-hmm. And yet we know the likelihood is every student wouldn't save all 5 hours just because sometimes you change majors, sometimes you have multiple minors. We have a lot of transfer students that end up having to catch up on some things. And so, again, a variety of measures. We think, frankly, that we could have a revenue positive resolution between those two issues. And yet for our students that are very focused on what they want to do and to get out in the workforce quicker, it would really be a significant savings for them.
Of course, Missouri State has done well in its enrollment and continued to grow this semester, but that's still going to be a focus of yours moving forward. How do you continue to grow as an institution and make the availabilities of services the same or even better?
You know, it's not just about paying your bills, although your bills increase. You know, just like at home, your utility bill goes up typically from year to year. We know we're going to have another increase in our pension fund coming. But so you have to have revenue to pay those bills as they increase. But a piece of it is we're going to have to keep our good employees. We're going to have to give them a compensation increase. And we're going to hire some additional employees. For example, we want to expand our nursing program. We have 300 students in pre-nursing right now that we can only take 61 into the actual nursing class. Because you have to have so many teachers per students to remain accredited. So if we want to expand that nursing program, and believe me, all of our healthcare providers are advocating that we do that, well, we have to hire additional faculty. And so we don't want our faculty student ratio getting further off. And so there are all sorts of parts that are moving together in this in terms of additional costs, additional people we need to hire, but at the same time figuring out, can we do some things more efficiently and save money to reallocate? And can we stop doing some things? And are there some programs that have outlived their usefulness or that the money would be better spent somewhere else? And so again, lots of parts to figuring out tuition fees, scholarships, hours requirements. Can we move to more open textbooks to reduce the cost students have in buying textbooks? We have a group of faculty led by one of our associate provosts, Chris Craig, working on that issue. We're going to need to continue to grow, but additional growth may take some additional hires. And so lots of moving parts to this. We're working on many of those programs now, and knowledge is going to become available as we work through them. So, for example, we're going to know our pension increase next week because the Mosier's Board is meeting and is going to set it. We'll know what inflation is by the end of the year. That factors in. We'll know what the governor's projected budget is by the end of January. That's obviously a critical factor. And so, but we don't want to wait till we see those pieces done. We want to work. So we're working now on what should be the hours to graduate. Are there some developmental classes that we can change out? You know, if you have to take a developmental math class as a student, you're paying 210 credit hours for a class that doesn't count towards anything. Can we transition that into a class that actually counts for your math requirement by adding some support so that you're taking contemporary math or algebra rather than a developmental class to get you there? But you need to be successful or you're not going to pass. And so, again, lots of pieces, lots of different groups working. We know affordability is important. But, you know, quality is equally important. And so how we manage that and continue to grow while maintaining affordability, those are all challenging initiatives. It's going to require us to think differently, going to require us to make some changes in how we deliver programs and how we provide services. But I'm really confident that our team is up to this challenge. And we'll begin, you know, rolling things out probably early next semester.
What about planning as it relates to private funding? I know the school has utilized this in the past, and every school does to a certain degree. Do you foresee it being something you rely more on because of the uncertainty of state appropriations?
You know, it's hard for private funding to replace ongoing needs, and yet there are certain things that private funding can help us with. They obviously have helped us with our capital projects, but they can also help us with program expenses. I think there'll be an additional emphasis, particularly on both helping provide some key faculty salaries through providing endowed chairs and professorships. I think we'll have a renewed interest in that. I think scholarships become ever more important as tuition goes up. And that's why not only will we be reevaluating our institutional scholarships, But the private money we raise for scholarships is going to be critical. You know, almost all of our students are middle class or working class. And so price is very important. And our price, our affordability, has been a driver in our growth. And so we can't give that up. But we've got to think about affordability broader, more than just how much per credit hour are you paying. There, you know, there, how many credit hours are you taking? Our average student graduates with 138. Can we bring that down? And so lots of pieces that we're working to on all of these pillars, and by the time the state budget is put together in May of 2018, we hope to have many of these new initiatives ready to roll out as well.
What's the overall message you want to send to the university community in following this financial sustainability model?
So is not to panic. Not to have overwhelming anxiety that additional state cuts are going to ruin the university. They're not. Some universities are going to thrive, and some are going to be demoralized and deteriorate. We want to be in the category that strives, and that we have plans and strategies in place to be able to do that, and continue to hire good people, retain our good people, pay our good people appropriately. And for our students, that yes, if tuition and fees go up, know that we're working in other ways to offset those costs, and that on the whole, we're not forgetting you either. We think it's a lot of balls to keep in the air, but we think we have the team in place that can allow the university to continue to be on a growth and success trajectory.
President Cliff Smart, thanks for joining us on Engaging the Community.
Thanks, Scott.